If you're out there looking for answers on how to buy your first home, man, it can be overwhelming. Well, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I've been keeping my eye on other people out there that are doing the same thing, trying to help you guys cut through the clutter. Well, I found our next guest, House Rich Dave. God, it's been over a year now, and I've been watching him and seeing what he's saying, and the dude speaks truth. So welcome to a very special edition of the How to Buy a Home podcast. My interview with Dave Ball, House Rich Dave. Check it out. Hey, homies, a quick interruption before I start the episode because I have some majorly exciting news. The How to Buy a Home podcast and me, your host, David Sidoni, we're going on the road. Come and get your questions about home buying answered from me directly, live and in person. And our first stop is Dallas, Texas. Yeah, baby, it only took me 5 years, but the unicorns are finally bringing me out on the road, and I'm going to be live in Dallas on Monday, April 1st. And no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is real. This is legit. I am literally, used correctly, coming to Dallas for a live event on Monday, April 1st. It's free, and there'll even be some refreshments out there, so you can save some money on dinner, because I know you're all on a budget trying to save up for a down payment and closing costs. To get the information, email info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. That's info, like information, info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. We're taking the revolution to the people. It is time to discuss the new rules for how to buy a home in 2024. And guess what? I'm actually going to stick around in Dallas, and if you can't make it or you're not in Dallas, the next day, Tuesday, April 2nd, me and JT, who maybe you've heard in the background on the podcast, we're going to be doing a YouTube Live. So that's for everybody in North America the very next day, 6 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday, April 2nd. That's going to be on my YouTube channel at How to Buy a Home. Q&A live with me. If you've got questions about either one of these, email info@howtobuyahome.com for questions. Again, Monday, April 1st, live in person in Dallas. If you can't make that, the next night, Tuesday, April 2nd, Q&A on YouTube at How to Buy a Home. Come see me live in Dallas or online on YouTube, and let's talk about how you can do this. Email info@howtobuyahome.com. Okay, everybody out there, homies, I'm super excited. You know, I've been telling you guys since 2019 that there's just not a lot of people in the industry, if not anybody out there talking to first-time homebuyers. Well, guess what? There's another one. And this dude is awesome. I found Dave at House Rich Dave on Instagram. And like the dude was pulling like straight from my heart. He was giving stuff straight to you. He kind of did the same thing I did, took a U-turn in his life. So, ladies and gentlemen, very excited to introduce to you House Rich Dave. This is Dave Ball. Dave, say hi to all the homies.
Hey, what's going on, homies? And thank you for having me on your platform. I really appreciate it. Everything you built has been super dope. So, yeah, I really appreciate the honor of being on your platform. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely, man. I just had the ADU guy on. I got to hook you guys up, too. And it's all about, I've built this thing and it came just from a place of a mission. And the ADU guy's the same way. Dude grew up poor. He started doing ADUs in the 90s, bro. Like way before. Like he happened to be in the right place at the right time. And now he just does it and he just gives all his crap away for free. Sound familiar?
Yeah, definitely.
All day long, right, bud?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get into Dave's story, but you know the drill, homies. Dave, you talk to first-time homebuyers all the time. What's your best tip going into 2024? And maybe it's your best tip for all time, but what's your best tip?
The number one piece of advice I can give to a first-time homebuyer is to focus on your monthly payment and then work backwards to find out what that ideal home price is. So I used to be a lender. And so one thing that always notice is folks would come in, they'd either apply online or I used to work actually in a bank branch. They would come in and they'd be like, hey, I want to qualify for a home that's $350,000. So my job as a lender is not to tell you what I think you can afford or so forth. But at some point during the consultation, I'd always ask, okay, what do you think the monthly payment is for that? And it was always, you know, crickets, Kanye shrugged. They didn't really know, like, what the answer was. And so I would be like, okay, you know, let's say in the example, it may be $3,000. And so the issue with that is, once you already have focused on the home price, what you've done, you've probably gone to Zillow at some point or wherever you look at homes. You've looked at homes in the area. You fell in love with the neighborhood, the area, the restaurants around there. You found a dog park for, you know, a little gizmo to run around. You've already fallen into love with homes in that price bracket. So once I tell you $3,000, even though your real life budget may have been $2,200, you're going to talk yourself into $3,000 no matter what, because you're like, okay, may get that promotion next month. You know, I can cut back on something you're not really going to cut back on. I don't have to go. I'll go out once a month instead of 2-3 times a month. And you go through all these scenarios in your head. You talk yourself into a home price you can't afford. And on top of that, like, there's all sorts of other expenses you're not even thinking about as a first-time home buyer. You're not thinking about lawn maintenance. You're not thinking about the new furniture you have to, I'm doing air quotes for the podcast, the new furniture you have to buy and all these additional expenses. So that only $800 jump that you're thinking that you can maybe bridge the gap on, it's really like $1,500. And now you're house poor. And now your home ownership sucked because it's so expensive. But honestly, in actuality, you didn't do the proper budgeting in the first place. So if you start with that, like, let's say $2,200, that ideal monthly payment, and then you work backwards to find the home, like, one of two things may happen. One is you may be like, this is going to get me a home that's $290,000 in the area I want to live in. I don't really like $290,000 homes. And so that's your prerogative. Maybe it's not the right time to buy because you can't find a home in a place that you want to live. Or maybe you realize you have to, instead of a 4-bedroom, you get a 3-bedroom. But focusing on that monthly payment first and working backwards sets the proper expectations for a first-time home buyer. I've just seen too many people talk themselves into monthly payments they couldn't afford. And then, you know, a year later, they're hitting me up. Hey, can I refinance and do this or that?
You know, it cracks me up because the real estate industry is not talking to people like this. And it's because what you and I know is that the real estate industry is not talking to first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
They're letting the newbies and the rookies who aren't putting the time in like you put in, like I put in. So what blows me away is it's like, what's their biggest payment? Their rent. Why don't we talk to them in that language? Like, if you're paying 22, let's not talk about a purchase price. Let's talk about what 2200 buys you and work backwards exactly like you did. And sometimes maybe you show them that 290 that the 2200 is going to buy them and they go, yee. And then fine, let's change the conversation, but you change it within the construct of the monthly. Say, okay, if you don't like that 290 house, which by the way, we're not calling, I have clients, we don't call houses a 290 house or a 300 house. We call it, okay, that's a 2200 house and that's a 3000 house when you get up to 350 or whatever. But sometimes it's like, well, if 22 was your max, well, now you know to get where you want, it's going to cost you 300. Like you said, would you stretch for it?
And here's the other thing I always tell folks too, like, no matter what price bracket you're in, you're always going to find something you don't like about the house. Like, I know Jay and Beyonce bought a $200 million home, like, out in California. They're looking at the house and like, it doesn't have X, Y, and Z. They can afford any house they want in the world, but I bet you that $200 million home that they bought, their issues with it all over the place. They're doing renovations. So no matter what price bracket you're in, like, there's going to be an issue with the home. So like, you try to get as close as possible to what meets your needs, especially as a first-time home buyer. Like, that first home, they say it all the time, it's not going to be your last home. It's not your dream home. Statistically, you're only going to be in the property like 5 to 8 years, sometimes more, sometimes less. So just make sure it meets like some basic needs, live in it for a few years, and then reassess maybe at the 3-5 year mark.
Yeah. And the way things are going right now, we're talking a lot about that on the podcast. And I see you talking about it too. Here we are in 2024. And the biggest issue on everyone's mind is affordability.
Yeah.
And we're starting to run into it. And I just keep preaching to people, I wish there was a correction coming. And I wish there was a crash coming. But until we see that inventory spike, so it's one of those things I tell them, you're born when you're born. And this is when you're ready to buy a house. So first-time homebuyers always have to compromise. 2024 and 2025 homebuyers might have to do a little more compromise than the rest. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, no, just on that note, here's the honest truth I think folks need to realize. If there is a crash, you got to be honest with yourself. You're not going to buy. Like, if home prices were to drop 10%, most people would freak out. It's like, oh no, the housing market's crashing. And just be honest with yourself, you're probably not going to have the intestinal fortitude, for lack of a better term, to jump in there. Because I always point out to folks, we talk about this home buying crash. Oh man, I can't remember the time frame. I think it was from somewhere in 2024. I think it was from December 2022 to like June 2023. It was like this 6-month time frame. Home prices actually dropped like 13% from like peak to trough. But no one, like all the folks that were waiting for the crash, like they didn't jump in and like buy a home during that time frame. So just got to be honest with yourself, like set your budget, set your goals. And if the time is right for you, the time is right for you, because we should not be focusing on the home buying process in these 12 to 6 month chunks. Like that's just the TikTok, Instagram part of real estate where folks are like, hey, I bought a home in, especially during COVID, I bought a home in January. I sold it in October, $80,000 profit. There was like a 1-2 year window where that was realistic. But in actuality, like focus on a home from a 3 to 5 year time frame. Because your first year, if you're planning to buy a home in January and sell a home in December, there's a 90% chance you're going to take an L. Like that, you're not going to profit off a home in 1 year. That's why I say focus on that home buying process in 3 to 5 years. But I think I went on a tangent, sorry. But to answer your question about about affordability, like I said, all you can do is focus on your budget. The market's going to do what the market's going to do. I remember looking back, so at the end of 2022, you know, the big wigs make their predictions, the Wells Fargo's, the Fannie Mae's, the Zillow's, the Redfin's, they all make their predictions on where the housing market's going to go. And no one really gets that right because there's so many factors that are changing in the economy that you can't predict. I mean, who would have thought, not to get political, but you know, there's like wars and stuff going on right now, invasions and so forth. There's just so much things going on within the economy that you cannot control, you cannot predict. All you can do is focus on your budget and how to go forward from there. So
yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk with Dave about, because he does this all the time, is like, what questions do people ask you and what questions should they be asking you instead? So I'll start with a couple and then I'll let you kick some more in, Dave. This year, what questions are people asking me that am I hearing that maybe are completely irrelevant? How's the election going to affect me buying a house? I've been doing this 18 years. I went back and looked at the history for 50 years. Ain't never been an election that ever affected Jack Squadiddly when it comes to buying a home. Policies take a long time to change. And more recently, what we're seeing is the policies really affect the uber rich and the corporations. There's very few policies. Like, do you understand? We had a global pandemic and they gave y'all $600 or $1,600. So if you think that a new president or a change in the administration is going to give you 3% down on a $400,000 house, that's 12 grand. That ain't happening. That's not happening because we had a global pandemic and they gave you under $2,000 for a family of four. So the election, that's a question I don't think people should be asking. I think another one of the things that people ask me all the time, and maybe you see this too, Dave, is people come in talking interest rate, interest rate, interest rate. And then I say, well, when are you ready to buy? And they're like, well, 6 months from now. And I'm like, cool. If you're going to buy 6 minutes from now, the interest rate might be different. So we got to talk about approximate interest rate and then go from there. How about you? What kind of questions do you see and what do you wish they were asking instead?
Yeah, so I want to touch on that interest rate thing because that's always one of my pet peeves, especially being like a lender beforehand. Like I tell folks, if a lender is pitching you based on their interest rate, go the other direction.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Here's the thing. Any lender can match any lender's interest rate. Like, because they'd rather lower their rate to match the other lender's interest rate than just to lose the deal altogether. So first and foremost, don't worry about rates at all. Two, like, especially if it's a verbal quote, a lender can literally tell you any interest rate you want to hear, and it can be the truth. Like, I'm a realtor now, but back when I was a lender, if I wanted to be a shady lender, and let's say the average interest rate was like a 6.750. If I wanted to win your business, you call me, you say, hey, what are your rates? I could be like, yeah, well, our rates are a 6.125. And you'd be like, wow, you know, that's half a percentage under the market rate. You'd go with me. But you don't know the ask the question, what points are associated with that rate? What buy down is associated with that rate? Because lenders can tell you any rate if they don't quote you what it's costing you to buy down the rate, and the buy downs being prepaid interest. So I see that a lot. The other thing is a lender can just make up a rate, because as you mentioned, unless you're closing tomorrow or locking in their rate tomorrow, it doesn't matter at all, because they can just be like, oh, well, once you got to close the property or the contract 30 days later, like rates have changed completely. And so now you're stuck with this lender who you may not necessarily like because they quoted you this super low interest rate. So yeah, don't worry about rates. Focus on the lender that you like. And on that note, maybe it's because like I'm online and I have like presence, so folks feel like they know me. But I am always shocked when folks do not interview me. Even though one thing I always tell folks is to interview me. So going back to the lender part, like one basic question, there's no right or wrong answer, but I always like to ask folks, say, how long have you been in the business? And like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. Some folks have been in the business for 15, 20 years. They don't know what they're doing. Some folks have just started and they're super hungry, ambitious, and they're willing to help you and willing to train you. Another good question to ask folks is like, what are your working hours? Because you'll get this too, like some great, very productive, for lack of a better term, lenders I know when I first started, they were just like, hey, I put in the grind early. I'm working from 8 to 5. If you want to call me at 5:15, sorry, you're out of luck. I'm with my family. And that's their prerogative, is because they set those boundaries front. So like, you want to ask folks like, hey, what are your hours? You want to ask lenders, like, what loan programs do you actually work with? Because pretty much every lender does like conventional loans, but like FHA loans, there's some details and intricacies with an FHA loan. VA loans, USDA loans. I always tell folks, I have never done a USDA loan when I was a lender in my life. But when folks would come to me and ask me about a USDA loan, I'd be like, yeah, we'll be doing, I can help you out. Now, things probably would have went okay, but maybe if you had like a complicated file or something like that, I probably was not the lender to go to for a USDA loan, because you may be unfortunately learning what I learned going through the loan process. So one mistake I see folks, first-time homebuyers make, is just not interviewing your realtor or lender. And just because your friend used them, that doesn't mean that they necessarily are a fit for you. I tell folks, I bet you your friend has friends that you don't like, right? Or maybe your friend is in a different price bracket than you are. Maybe your friend has different credit than you are. Like, you're friends, but your financial situations, credit profiles may be different. So always make sure you're interviewing that lender and that realtor to make sure that they are an adequate for your need.
I agree, because you and I have put all our eggs in the education basket. And we've seen that there's a lot of people in this industry on the lending and real estate side that are not well-trained. And so what's the easiest way to explain to people that you're well-trained? Educate them. Show them the research. So I think that you made some phenomenal points there about shopping the rates. And again, we're coming to this as two realtors now, both with financial backgrounds. But as realtors, we're telling you the biggest mistake we see first-time homebuyers do is they shop the rates instead of interviewing the lender. But there's a step even before that. You need to educate yourself and find the full squad, both realtor and lender. You know what I mean? But that's so interesting that and you know what, Dave, you and I both know this. We've talked about it. We've been talking for years now. The reason why is because those big lending companies got all the big bucks and they beat the realtors to it. So everyone out there, I mean, you're online like crazy. Everyone out there thinks loan, 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 loan. They think like a realtor won't even talk to you unless you have a pre-approval in your hand. And what's funny is we just kind of explained that piece of paper might be completely worthless, but we got to do, and that's the great thing that you're doing. We're helping to change the narrative. So understand that's some inside information from a man who did it. What about searching for a home or the home buying process or the home planning searching process? What are some of the other things that you see that you're getting a lot of questions about, whether they're right or wrong, and how are you advising people?
So one thing I see, because traditionally first-time homebuyers are at the bottom of the price bracket, for lack of a better term. So, you know, that affordability question comes into play. And the question is always, you know, when are prices coming down? How do I win the deal, et cetera? And this is never forcing anybody to do anything. But one thing I want folks to focus on is, unfortunately, at the bottom of the price bracket, those homes, for the most part, they don't come down. I remember looking back at a statistic. I can't remember it off the top of my head, so I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. But I think in 2021, like 33% of the new homes were like under $300,000. In 2022, it was like 15%. And most recently, it was like 10%. The reason for that is like builders are not They're building new homes, but they're not building affordable homes. Like, there, unfortunately, there's not a lot of incentives for new builders to build homes, to build affordable homes, unless they're getting incentives from, like, the city. Then there's paperwork and stuff involved. And still, they're not going to make the same amount of money that they would make an affordable home that they would make for a home in some other place. So, unfortunately, at the bottom of the price bracket, like, those homes, they're continuously going up. I remember I helped somebody here in Dallas buy a home that was $215,000. They were looking at about $225,000 was their cap. At some point, I think we got a home on like our seventh offer, but there were homes we looked at where there were like 36 offers, 19 offers, 14 offers, 9 offers. And the reason I point this out is you need to be ready mentally for it maybe to take a little bit longer than you're anticipating. Like, I'll see sometimes folks will contact me. It was like, hey, my lease is up in a month. No, can you help me find a home? Maybe not. Probably not in 30 days, especially if you're at the bottom of the price bracket. And so whatever that is in your city, make sure you're giving yourself the proper leeway or lead time in order to find a home. Like, no matter where you're at, I typically recommend like 3 to 4 months at least before your lease is over. Maybe if you're in the bottom of that price bracket, maybe 5 to 6. And then so the fear folks have is, you know, what if I find a home in a month? What's going to happen now? Because I'm going to have a rent payment and a mortgage payment at the same time. Well, if you find one within a month, well, big shout to you, congrats. But make sure you're focusing on things that, one, you know, we're not going to close the loan the next day. You know, we have that 30-day time frame. The other part is, like, your first payment isn't due until the first of the month, 30 days after you close. So typically, you have a 30 days to close on the loan, then typically another 40 to 50 days before, like, your first payment is due. So there is, like, a two-month gap before, like, your first payment is due. But if you're at the bottom of that price bracket, unfortunately, like, those home prices, they aren't coming down no matter what's going on in, like, the middle or the top of the market. Like, when you see folks talking about, hey, home prices were slashed $90,000, they're not talking about the $290,000 home. They're talking about the $950,000 home that was probably overpriced to begin with. So just got to run your race and make sure you're focusing on the proper timelines.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because the timeline is something that a lot of people don't factor in. And, you know, like you were saying, at this price bracket, there's more competition. That's all there is to it. There's more competition for a 250 house than a $2.5 million house. That's just the way it goes. But that calendar is so important. Like, if you ask me, David, what's a giant mistake? Dave and Dave both say calling me with 1 month left to try to buy a house in a month. So if you're going to have to go month to month anyway, your payments are going to go up. Here's the way the calendar works. If you call us at least 6 months ahead of time, I like a year. But if you call us 6 months ahead of time, it's going to take a month to go through and figure out all the pre-approval stuff. So now it's 5 months. Now, even if you go out that first weekend on the fifth month and you find a house, it's 30 days to buy it. And then 30 days on the backside that you get that extra before your first mortgage payment is. So now we're down to 2 or 3 months left on your lease. I always say you are stepping over $100 bills to pick up a penny when you're concerned about a $2,000 lease change. You just have to, I think that there's a wealth mindset that people need to change and realize. Now, if you don't have to move, fine. But maybe don't go looking at houses at 5 months. If you're like, you know what I want to do? I really want to, I'll pay the extra $300 a month, but I don't want to deal with, okay, fine. Doesn't mean you can't start planning and driving around neighborhoods and doing stuff. And they're just afraid to call us because people in the industry just tell them, oh, here, fill this out. No, you can't afford it yet. Call me in 6 months.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad you clarified that. But yeah, you definitely should be in contact with somebody before you're actually ready. Because as a professional in this business, I don't know, 80% of the people we talk to, we understand they're never going to close the deal. It's not like if somebody calls me, I know there's a good chance just the loan or the deal is not going to close, whether they're not ready from a mental standpoint, maybe they're not ready from a credit standpoint, a financial standpoint. Maybe we go look for homes and you just don't find one. Like, I've looked for homes with people for like a while, and then just at the end of it, it's just like, hey, it's just not right for me right now, and I got something going on. Like, I was working with a nurse a little bit ago, and then she picked up a job like in Chicago, and it's like, okay, we looked for 3 months. We actually went under contract, and hey, it just didn't make sense for her to now have this property as a rental property. So sometimes just things happen during the home buying process as well. But yeah, definitely the only way to get ready is to talk to somebody to figure out like that timeline, as you mentioned.
Yeah, that pre-planning sets you up for life's shifts. If a fork in the road all of a sudden drops in when you're in the middle of your process, I'd rather have 6 months of planning behind it, because then you have those contingency plans, those other ideas already ready to go. Dave, so like I said, homies out there, I found Dave online when I was researching at the beginning of my podcast days. And I was like, holy crap, here's a dude talking about it. So tell all the homies out there where people can find you to get a double dose of Dave and Dave education.
All right. I have various platforms. I'm under, I like to call it like the House Rich banner. So if you're on TikTok and IGs of the world, my name is House Rich Dave. Try to post daily on there, like some quick tips, actionable tips there. As far as like the long form on YouTube and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can catch me there. It's called House Rich, the First Time Homebuyer Show. Is exactly what it sounds like. And so my goal is to put out an episode every week. I try to break down some sort of home buying topic. So right now I'm going through the process of, at the beginning of every year, I break down like all the guidelines for like conventional FHA, USDA, NACA, VA, every loan program you can probably think of. And also like I'll tackle like various stories that you see in the news, because as you know, there's a lot of like clickbait headlines out there. And then next thing you know, like somebody's on TikTok and they're pointing at the headline, you know, like Geppetto was pulling a string, not really explaining it. But there's just so much misinformation that gets out there because of a clickbait headline from people that don't actually read the stories or like the data that the story is based on. So I try to like explain those from a factual standpoint as well, so that you can form your opinion the best you can.
That's truth. Y'all know I've been I don't know if you homies understand how much I've been gatekeeping you. I've got so many people that reach out to me, and Dave, like Derek, the ADU guy, killer guy, great, you know, just reason behind what he's doing. I would say this about House Rich Dave. All the House Rich Dave stuff, you want data, that's where you go. Bro kicks it straight. Data, it's no fluff. It's no sales pitch. It's just like, ooh, crap, I saw this headline. Let me explain to you and break it down exactly what it is. And it's really good stuff. And I think that first-time homebuyers benefit. The more education you can get, the better. And the more that we can keep people understanding what's just fear tactics. Because the bottom line is, like you said, get it together whenever you can get it together and make it happen. And that's how you get house rich. Not trying to time the market like those TikTok videos, right, man?
Most definitely.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm going to take a look at some of your most recent stuff. And as we go through this year, when a new hot topic happens, I want to start doing some current event stuff. So I'll grab you and bring you on, and you and I can chop it up on that stuff.
Okay. Awesome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Dave.
All right. Thank you.
All right, homies. There you go. So we got to give a big how to buy a home thank you to Dave Ball, House Rich Dave, and his First Time Homebuyer Show. I'm so stoked that he came on and doing the same thing that we're trying to do here, just get you guys as much quality, good information as we can. Now, Dave comes from a lender background, so he's one of the guys as far as a realtor that I really enjoy listening to, because he brings it to you from the financial side of things. You can't be a door opener realtor anymore, because we got to figure out how to beat this affordability. There was so much great stuff in there, but the one big thing I wrote down in my note was shopping interest rates versus shopping the actual lender. I think this is something maybe I don't say on the podcast enough. It's not a situation where you're going into a store and you're buying the same computer from one shelf or another. You are not buying the interest rate. It's just like you can't look at a computer at the specs in one store and then go to another store and go, this is the exact same computer. It's not, because you're not buying a thing. You're buying a full relationship and a level of service. You're buying knowledge. You're buying creativity and understanding. You're buying the guidance. You're buying a counselor who's going to help you through all this. Yet, I see so many people make the mistake of just shopping rates. And when you just shop rates, you're not understanding how this buying process actually works and how that maybe a quarter point here or a quarter point there. I mean, like Dave said, everybody gets the same rates. But if you're just making phone calls trying to find the person who gives you the best rate, as opposed to trying to understand the relationship, someone who's going to walk you through the entire process, I guarantee you that person who gives you that service, that person can save you tens of thousands of dollars down the line. And like Dave said, if they don't tell you that the rate quote that they're giving you is without points, it's got points. And points equals cash out of your pocket. So thanks again to Dave Ball, House Rich Dave. You guys check him out. Instagram, YouTube, podcast. He's all over the place. And if you're listening here today and you like what we're bringing to you, whether it's these great guests who are also trying to help first-time homebuyers everywhere, or the information you're finding on Instagram or TikTok, all the places how to buy a home is out there, do us a favor, write a quick review right here. It helps get more people to find the podcast. And you can always go to howtobuyahome.com and ask a question. No matter where you are on the home buying process, if you're at the very beginning of the process and you want to get our 7-day quick how to learn how to be a home buyer, or if you've got a specific question for me, you can ask Dave. Or if you just want to say, you know what, I've been listening, I'm ready, let's find a unicorn. Everything's at howtobuyahome.com. Okay, homies, be safe, be prepared, be educated. Thank you so much for listening to me and Dave today. It was the Dave and Dave Show. It was fun. And I know if he were here with me, he'd say the same thing. You can do this.